There's never a dull moment when it comes to Minnesota sports. Rather, it's positive. Or negative.
The Yankees have swept the Twins.
Minnesota Sports Chat has you covered. Talking nothing but Minnesota sports all year long. It's time now for the soon-to-be award-winning, if only in his own mind, Minnesota Sports Chat with your host, Ross Brendel.
Well, here we go. Welcome inside edition number 209 of the soon-to-be award-winning Minnesota Sports Chat presented by Beans Coffee Company. Use the promo code SPORTSCHAT at coffeebybeans.com to save on delicious small-batch coffee roasted in Mankato, Minnesota.
They'll try it here as Foggy is back to throw. Now he's going to run. He's at the 40. Cuts to his right at the 35. Downfield to the 30. The 25 to 20. And out of bounds at the 17-yard line with 20 seconds remaining.
Well, I know I'm going to butcher the name. Larry Ostrom on the Pro-Am Sports Network and College Football History on the YouTube machine. If that highlight didn't give it away, the guest today is 1987 second-team All-Big Ten quarterback, a CFL Grey Cup champion, a former quarterback in the Arena Football League for the Minnesota Fighting Pike, a Golden Gopher, and the newly minted head coach of Minnesota's return to the AFL, the Minnesota Myth, none other than Mr. Ricky Foggy. Ricky, thank you for taking time to come on Minnesota Sports Chat. I really appreciate this. I've long seen you about on the Twitter sphere, and of course, growing up a Gopher football fan, you're a name that always is top of mind when it comes to Gopher football, so this is a pretty cool deal for me. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Ross, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's my pleasure also.
That highlight, I imagine that's something you think pretty fondly of when you think about your career at the University of Minnesota and the Golden Gophers. I'm assuming you were aware maybe at the time or have since become aware. Did you know you were 25.5 point underdogs on that day at the Big House?
I don't think I actually knew personally, but I knew going into that game that probably 99.5% of America didn't think we had a chance.
That's why they play the game, right? That's the old line. That's why they play the game. I'm going to get into a little bit of Gopher football stuff with you, and we'll circle back to that. But I'm going to start a little bit with the A topic of the last few weeks, because I saw you on the X machine, I think is what we call it now, with a few tweets as it relates to Kirk Cousins and Atlanta and just the general state of the Minnesota Vikings from afar. In your humble opinion, do you like where the Vikings seem to be shifting gears and maybe, I don't want to call it a reset because they spent some good money in free agency on some really good players and the roster already is pretty darn good, but do you feel like it was time for the Vikings to do what it appears they're going to do at the quarterback position and look for somebody in the upcoming draft on April 25th?
I believe so. I think what Kirk did in his 6 years here is I think everybody owe him a lot of gratitude for what he's done on and off the field. I just think it was unfortunate for him last year. He got off to such a hot start. You know, he was playing probably the best football of his career and unfortunately ended up with that Achilles injury. And so, you know, it's tough to say how he's going to rebound. You know, just because his age, why he's not a young pup anymore, and just because of the severity of that injury. Now, he can come back and do the same things he was doing last year, and I think we all wish him well. But, I don't have any qualms with him signing a contract with Atlanta. I mean, you know, it's professional sports. I guarantee you I would have did the same thing.
it is kind of funny that, and I get it, maybe, you know, nobody has ever, I don't think, I'm not calling him a liar, but I think it's really tough to be in a position that he's in and be 100% truthful. I think most of us at the end of the day, if you were offered, we don't know what the Vikings were offering, but I think at the end of the day, for most of us, if you're being offered $100 million guaranteed or $65 million guaranteed, even if you've made millions upon millions of dollars, I think most of us would probably go with the $100 million option, right? Especially in that sport. You know it, Ricky. You're not going to play it till you're 70. So you kind of got to get the money when you can get the money.
Right. And at the end of the day, right, that's what free agency is all about. It's putting yourself as a player in the best position to get paid the most you can. And Kirk's done it twice. The guy's a genius.
I was joking also on X and Twitter and even in the office. I need his agent to help me negotiate my next deal at Hubbard Broadcasting so I could get a lot of guarantees in there. Mr. Foggy, on this podcast, I do a thing off and on called Five Filler Questions. I typically do it towards the end of the podcast, and it's really just random questions about nothing. For you, I'm actually kind of just giving you five random football questions, and the first one that I gave you was relating to Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. But I do want to ask you some other random questions as it relates to you. So one of the things that I nerd out on, and this is a true story, I'm like a lot of people in this country, I'm football crazy. However, I'm so football crazy, I love the CFL. And I love my Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I say my Blue Bombers because I finally made it to a game a couple of summers ago, and I'm getting really tired of them tearing my heart out in the Grey Cup Championship the last few years. But tell me about your experience in the CFL. I know it was different back then than it is now. I know there were more teams, and I know there were some teams in America. But can you just briefly talk about your CFL experience and what it was like playing what I view even today, Ricky, still a really good brand of football, but there are some intricacies and quirks to it that are a lot different from what you were used to playing at the University of Minnesota?
No question. I think that just the size of the field for me, like when I first got to Vancouver my rookie year and I walked out on their football field and I was like, this thing is huge. You know, it's 120 yards long, it's 63 yards wide, and you only get three downs to get 10 yards. So from once I got over the shock of how big the field was, I got settled in because even with the size of the field, it worked into my favor because obviously I was a running style quarterback and was passer second. So I adjusted pretty well. I used my feet a lot. And once I got acclimated to the game, I was able to be coached by one of the legendary coaches in the CFL, a guy by the name of Adam Rita. He's a Hall of Fame coach in the CFL. You know, met some great friends. Doug Flutie, I got to meet and play against. Major Harris, who played at West Virginia, I got to be a teammate of his. Damon Allen, who's Marcus Allen's little brother. And so it was such a treat for my 10-year career up there. And, you know, being able to play in Vancouver, I played in Toronto, where they had the open Sky Dome. And get to play with Rocket Ismail, who's Heisman Trophy winner. Also in 91, we had Wayne Gretzky and John Candy was our owners, co-owners.
Really?
It's amazing. So just to get to hang out with John Candy, it was amazing. And so my whole CFL career, I'm telling you, I didn't have a bad moment. It was just great.
A quick aside, John Candy and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is probably, it's either my favorite comedy of all time or it's top three. That movie still makes me laugh all these years later. I had no clue. That's incredible. The Great One and John Candy together owning a team. I did not know that. Okay, this next question's a little bit random, but you can take it wherever you want. What is the greatest lesson football has taught you about life?
That's easy. Just it's toughness. You know, it's mental and it's physical toughness. I think it prepares you for, you know, obviously a lot of stuff that you go through in football. But life is the same thing. You know, you get knocked down in life. You got to get back up. You got to find your way. You know, you have your ups and you have your downs in life. And that's football. But football teaches you the tenacity to keep going, you know, to fight through it. And that's the thing that I think that's the way we are built as humans. And so that's the one thing I've actually learned about football, and just have fun.
Doing my research, I love that answer, by the way, because it's true. We will face adversity daily, and it's how you power through that that I think defines most people. So as I was researching this, Ricky, I knew, I guess technically, would you call Lawrence, South Carolina? That's East Coast? South, East Coast? What would we call that?
Southeast Coast.
How about that? We'll combine them both. How does a boy from Lawrence, South Carolina, grow such a strong connection to Minnesota? Was it the time with the Gophers? Because just following your career, it's University of Minnesota, the Fighting Pike, involved with high school football, now the Minnesota Myth, and I know you're still in the state of Minnesota. What was it that made you officially one of us to stick around and be a part of all this Minnesota fun you've had in your entire life?
Well, I have to get one thing straight. I'm from Waterloo, South Carolina. Oh. Lawrence is where I went to high school.
Well, then Wikipedia failed me. That's my apologies.
And if the saying is, if you're going through my town of Waterloo and you have to bend down, tie your shoe, by the time you raise up, you've missed it. And so, and I just know, I honestly, you know, being at the University of Minnesota, the community has been great to me. It's been nothing but 100% love. And, you know, it's always, no matter where I went, even when I went to the CFL, I always came back. Even when I played in arena football in different cities, I always came back to make Minnesota my home. And I just feel comfortable. I do. I got a lot of my teammates from the Gophers are still here, like Darryl Thompson, Ray Hitchcock, Peter Nigerian, Norris Wilson, Anthony Burke. All these guys are still here, and those guys are my brothers. So I still like to hang around them, and I think even the better part is they still like to hang out with me.
Well, and you know, you named some of those names. I know Darryl Thompson, all-time good guy. Pete Nigerian's been on this podcast. He's been on other podcasts and shows that I'm a part of. And occasionally I'll actually run into him at Gopher games or when I travel. So I know he is still heavily involved and interested in Golden Gopher football. So I'll spend a little bit of time there, and then we're going to talk plenty about the Minnesota Myth. One of my passions is Golden Gopher football, which is odd because I did not attend the University of Minnesota. But as I jokingly tell people, well, it's still the state school and they still take some of my tax dollars, so I still count it as my school. Gopher football season ticket holder, independent of wins and losses, I love it, but I obviously will love it more as they win. In today's day and age, Ricky, I think we're still trying to wade the waters of NIL and what the new landscape of college football looks like. But is it possible for Golden Gopher football to compete at a high level? Is it still possible? Is it still something that as a fan we should go into? Maybe not every season, but maybe, heck, every 3, 4, or 5th season you think, yeah, they could win 10-plus games and compete this year. Is that still something that, as a fan, I should look forward to, or do I just have to kind of get used to, they might just be a 6-6, 7-5 program because that's the landscape of college football in the year 2024?
Well, there's a reason why Nick Saban retired, right?
Yes, and he's been pretty honest about it.
Right, and the problem is I would not want to be a college coach at any sport because of the NIL and because of the transfer portal, you know, because the kids are different. So like when I came to the University of Minnesota in 1984 as a college freshman, I knew I wasn't going nowhere. First of all, I couldn't go back home because my parents told me I couldn't. And second of all, like transferring was just not a thing. Like Minnesota was my school. I was going to be here for 4 years. And so that's the hardest thing right now is getting kids to buy in and believing in your program and believing in your system. And hopefully they don't get upset and hit the portal. And so I feel for college coaches the day and age, because it seemed like the kids want to get paid, you know, and I'm all for that, but it's kind of seemed like they're losing the integrity or the love of the sport. And so, and that's what we played for back in the day. So to answer your question, no, I don't want to settle for mediocrity. But it's going to be tough on Coach Fleck. You know, he's got to recruit harder. You know, he got to recruit tougher. You know, you got these other teams coming in from the West Coast that he's compete against. So it's going to be hard on all Gophers. I'm a huge Coach Fleck fan. I'm thinking he can pull it through. But it just don't seem like it's going to be an easy road anymore.
Well, and there's a few things with the transfer portal and NIL that mm-hmm. stick out to me. And even college basketball teams are dealing with this right now. Now, I get it. It's the NIT tournament. But there's going to be some teams, perhaps Ben Johnson and the Gophers included, they're going to participate in the NIT, and they're already going to be losing players because the college basketball transfer portal opens up. Like, what? And the same thing happens with college football. Why is the transfer portal even allowed to open up when we still have 30 plus bowls to play? You know, I just don't understand how that stuff can't be cleaned up and fixed. And then on the other hand, on the NIL stuff, let's just say I've paid you or insert player here for the year. Well, I get it. Like, some are trying to protect themselves for the NFL draft. But if I've already paid mm-hmm. you to come play for the University of Minnesota, it just looks bad to me if we go 6-6, 7-5, and at the end of the year, you want to opt out and not play the bowl game. But I've already paid you. You know, so it's just, and I don't know how that stuff gets fixed. And I'm not expecting that you and I can fix that, but there's a lot of issues that the NCAA and college football needs to work out. And then this will be my last point. Then we'll move on to a bunch of Minnesota myth talk. The one thing that's so intriguing to me, and Chip Kelly, another guy who basically left UCLA so he could just be a coordinator because he said he wanted to coach. There were also a couple of other college coaches coaching, you know, the mid-majors of the world that chose to leave their post just to be position coaches at bigger universities because they didn't want to deal with all this stuff. But I think the part that gets lost here is, and again, Chip Kelly brought this up, why can't college football just be on its own and everybody else can stay in their conferences? The UCLA softball team traveling to Minneapolis and the University of Minnesota softball team traveling to play games at UCLA makes no financial sense for anybody, yet we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another problem. I feel like I'm just throwing out random stuff to you. But I don't know how that gets fixed, and I don't know why that was such a big oversight from the get-go. We should just treat football separately from everybody else.
Couldn't agree more.
I like it. You just made me feel incredibly smart, so thank you very much. One thing that makes me feel incredibly smart each and every morning is when I have my cup of Beans Coffee to get me going. A sincere thank you to Beans Coffee Company for supporting Minnesota Sports Chat. If you can kindly do me a favor and go to coffeebybeans.com, take a look at all of the delicious choices that they have for you. Beans Coffee Company, they have roasts and blends and a variety of flavors. It'll satisfy any coffee drinker's palate. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at coffeebybeans.com. You can order by the bag, set up a coffee subscription. A cup of coffee is important. Drink the best around. I'm currently working through that blue bean, and of course, you know I love the Perfectus blend. It's mighty tasty. Beans Coffee Company ships anywhere in the U.S., free shipping on all orders over $35 or more. Use the promo code SPORTSCHAT. That's promo code SPORTSCHAT to save at checkout. I was incredibly excited. I don't know how many months ago we're going back. 3-4 months, you would know better than I would on the timeline. When I saw not only was arena football back, Mr. Ricky Foggy, one, I was excited that you are involved. You are the head coach. Then, of course, lastly, we got a team back. I'm excited about that. I remember the days of the Minnesota Fighting Pike with you at quarterback. So this is exciting to me. Why is it so important for you to be involved and just the importance of the Arena Football League as an option for those who want to continue to play football?
No, I just think it's great. You know, I thought I was done coaching football 2 years ago. I was at De La Salle High School. And, you know, after the season, I thought I was done. You know, I put my time in and I had got my fulfillment out of coaching. And lo and behold, I seen Lee Hutton at a golf fundraiser. And Lee is a former golfer and also is the commissioner of the Arena Football League. And he said he had an idea that he wanted to actually to bring the league back, back alive out of bankruptcy. And so, you know, I just kindly told him, you know, if there's any chance you do that and you have an opportunity to get a team in Minnesota, you know, at least let me get an interview for the head coaching job. And then, you know, lo and behold, got the league going again. And the Minnesota team is one of 16 teams, in the Arena Football League. I was able to get a interview from Miss Deanna Hutton, which is Ashley Lee's wife and our owner. And, you know, and good fortunes fell into place. She actually likes me. And offered me the job. So I'm delighted to have the job, and I'm looking forward to our upcoming season.
And you'll be playing at Target Center. It's a 10-game regular season, 5 games at home, 5 on the road. I'll let people know now. More information, tickets at mnmyth.com. That's mnmyth.com. Why is it important to you, and why should the state of Minnesota rally around this team? I know you've obviously seen it with Gopher football. Heck, go back to 2019. Gopher football was the talk of the town as they were undefeated, getting ready for Penn State. Minnesota Vikings football always is, always will be 1A in this town, independent of the record. Why is it important, and why should Minnesota rally around this team and come check you guys out?
Because it's different. You know, and we're playing in the spring and in the summer. There's no Vikings football at that point. And so that's a good timing on Lee's part, on his scheduling. But it's a different brand. Obviously, it's an indoor football league. So if you actually picture a hockey arena, right, hockey rink, and with pads around the boards, we're going to throw some turf down there on artificial turf. And then we put up 2 big nets on each side of the end zone. And so I think the most fascinating thing is it's a fast game. Our clock don't stop until under 2 minutes of each quarter. So you can get in and out of arena football game under 2.5 hours. And the way the seating is in the arena, you are right on top of the players. Trust me, the walls are out of bounds. So if you are in that first row, you will have a player land in your lap at some point. But it's an offensive game. You know, average scores have been in the 60s and 70s. It's set up for offense. It's set up for fast pace, high scoring football. And so with my experience, I have great experience with one of my assistant coaches, Jeff Lutz. Jeff played in arena football about as long as I did, about 8 or 9 years. And so I think we've gathered 35 good young men that we're going to bring in the training camp April 1st. So it's going to be up to me and my coaching staff to get these guys ready to play, both mentally and both physically. And, you know, I think that just for the fact that we deserve for the fans to come out and check out our product. And I think once they see it, they'll get hooked on it. And the good thing is it's only 5 home games, right? We only have a 10 game schedule this first year, which I think is ideal also, because you don't want to drag it out, right? So you want to have it fast, you want to have fun, and you want it to be exciting. So unfortunately for me, I got to win some games.
Okay, so you kind of walked me into my next question. This year, because everybody is in theory starting from scratch, so to speak, is the league essentially just going to be wide open here in year one? Because how do you scout for maybe later in the year you can do a bit more scouting in game prep, but the first couple games of the year, can you really do that? Every team is new. Every roster is new. So I feel like there's intrigue just from that alone.
Well, you're definitely going in blind the first game, right? Because nobody's playing preseason games, so you can't get any film. The good thing about arena football, you can't trick nobody. Like, you can't trick nobody on defense, right? You can't trick nobody on offense. You can't really disguise your coverages to try to trick the quarterback, because you got a guy in high motion on offense, and you got to tip your hand if you're going to play zone. You got to come up. If you're going to play man, you're going to be back. So just from those standpoints alone, you can kind of figure out what teams are doing. The big thing is who they have on their roster, right? So, you know, hopefully we got more of those dudes than they do. But that's what it comes down to in arena football. You got to have the better players. You got to have better athletes. You got to have a couple DBs that can cover. You got to have a couple receivers that can get open. And then you got to have a quarterback who is accurate, because not a lot of space in arena football.
You know, I haven't looked around at all the other teams' coaches and coaching staffs. You mentioned, obviously, your past AFL experience and one of your assistant coaches. Do you know offhand the other coaches? Are most guys coming into this with arena football experience? They'd almost have to be, right? Or are there a few that don't have any arena football experience that will be coaching and at the helm?
No, as I've looked around the league, the majority of the coaches have had arena football experience. And there's probably four or five teams that's coming in from the indoor football league. So it also gives them an advantage because they've played in the indoor game. So they don't really have to teach their players the dimensions of the field and little stuff like that. But I think for the most part, it's going to be a real competitive league. I've looked at a lot of the rosters, and there's some really good talent in this league. And there's a lot of guys who still wants to be able to compete. So I think another thing that's important for us and for this league is that arena football is giving guys like me opportunity to continue coaching. Like, arena football is giving, 35 guys coming into my training camp opportunity to continue playing football. So, I just think it's a great opportunity overall to have an opportunity to come out and play and showcase your talents.
Well, and you kind of hit on it a couple different points. You mentioned you have to win some games, and I'll get to that. And then also the part that you talked about, the competition. At the end of the day, you're paid to win games, and the players want to win games. You want the fans to show up, have a good time, and have a great experience. But this is no different than going to watch big-time college football or the NFL or other teams that you cheer for. The players on the field want to win, and that's what you want to do. Do you feel the pressure in year one to win, or do you always feel the pressure to win?
Well, let me put it like this. I haven't talked to my owner about that yet, so let's just keep that under wraps for now.
Okay, got it. Got it. Totally.
No, I honestly think, I think that, as a former athlete, like, winning is a thing. Like, you don't train for years and months and hours in the gym to go out and go, oh, man, I wish I win this game.
Correct.
No, you want to win that game. Yeah, so from just a former player standpoint and coach, my adrenaline is still high. You know, when I think about arena football, when I'm sitting down making my playbook, I get excited. And so, no, it's hard to predict until we get these guys here in training camp. But, no, from day one, we're preparing these guys to win, and we're going to play at 100%.
What do you remember about your time with the Minnesota Fighting Pike? And I'll be honest, Ricky, I'll be terribly honest here. I was more than half hoping you guys would return as the Fighting Pike. However, I do love the name. I do love the name the more I've gotten behind it, and the color scheme of the Minnesota Myth. For those watching on YouTube, I love the black. and orange. It's different for Minnesota. So I do like that. But what do you remember specifically about your time playing arena football in Minnesota for the Fighting Pike? I have your guys' pocket schedule for that year. That's how big into this I am.
Well, I don't know if I can really say what I really remember from my time with the Minnesota Pike. But I was curious because there was a hot tub in the back of one of the end zones.
Yep.
And so we couldn't figure out if the crowd was there to see us or the hot tub.
Or the hot tub. Yeah. It's funny. So in this building here, my main job, I work at Hubbard Broadcasting. I work with Score North, and I do a lot of podcasting stuff here for Hubbard Broadcasting. A while back, I worked with a gentleman. He actually did your crowd announcing. I think he did your PA announcing that year, and he would mention the hot tub. And I don't know about that. Do we know? Will a hot tub be back this year at Target Center? Do we know? Or is that a request from you? No hot tub.
I requested it, and I got a hell no.
Do you? I'm assuming you remember. I think my favorite. My favorite, I think, player story is that Mike Vanderjagt kicked for you guys.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, but this is what I would say, though. That is what I love about this league, is that guys are going to have a chance to be able to stay on film, keep their name out there, and potentially do things that at some point down the road maybe earn them. I don't know. Maybe it is a trip to the CFL. Maybe it is to an NFL camp invite, and you have to feel really cool to be a part of that, to help keep somebody's quote unquote dream alive.
Yeah. Or even playing in this league for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, like I did, is an accomplishment. So, and that's why I say this league gives players opportunity to continue to compete, you know, to continue to make some money, to get some film, like you said. And then, like, you never know. Like, everybody's only thing they have to do now is click the button to watch and see what somebody's doing.
Yes.
And so, no, I think it's great. I'm really excited about this opportunity. I think we got some great young men coming in here and compete, and one young lady. We got a young lady coming in to compete for our kicker spot. And
awesome.
So, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, final question for you. Walk me through this. I'm going to go back to Gopher football here. That's where my mind and my heart is always on Gopher football, and then I'll get you out of here. Walk me through, if you don't mind, because I wasn't able to find a ton. I've heard you talk about it before, but how did you end up at the University of Minnesota? What were some of your other options, and why did you decide that this was the place you wanted to be, if you don't mind talking about that a little bit?
No, I don't mind at all. So I was being recruited by some Southern schools, South Carolina, University of North Carolina, East Carolina. I wanted to go to Clemson University because Homer Jordan had just won the national championship in 1981, right? So somebody looked like me. And I didn't think it was possible. I'm like, that's Homer Jordan. And so I wasn't getting recruited by him my junior year. My senior year, wasn't getting recruited by him. We won a state championship my senior year. I came in second in 100-yard dash. It was a dash back then. In the state my senior year in track. I was All-State in basketball my senior year. All-State in baseball. Still didn't get recruited by Clemson for football. So I was being recruited by the University of North Carolina. I still remember the coach's name to this very day, Coach Evans. And I told Coach Evans, I go, here's the deal. I go, you let me come on my recruiting trip. You take me to a basketball game. Let me meet Michael Jordan after the game. And let me get an autograph from Mike. I'm coming. So went on my recruiting visit. Went to a game. Met Mike. Got my autograph. Boom. It's done. Okay. And so the coach that was recruiting me at East Carolina, Coach Palermo, lo and behold, did I find out he was recruiting my mama. So,
aren't they all?
Yeah, now I know. Like, Coach Palermo got hired for University of Minnesota to be their defensive line coach by Coach Lou Holtz. So he calls my mom and tell my mom that he wants me to come up there for a visit. I go, Mom, I'm not going up there. I'm going to Carolina. She was like, son, just go up there. You're the youngest of nine kids. You only been in North Carolina. Like, go to Minnesota and check it out. It's like free. I was like, okay, I'll go. So I came to Minnesota. I didn't have a coat. It was in January. It was like minus 20. So as soon as I got off the plane, I was like, heck no, I ain't coming here. But I went out with Melvin Anderson and Dwayne Dutrell. Those guys took me out down to J.D. Hortz. Had a meal that I ain't never had in my life before that tasted so good. I got to meet Coach Holtz that Saturday. Coach Palermo took me back to the airport on Sunday. And I told him, Coach, I had a great time. You know, I appreciate you bringing me up for a visit. But I think I'm going to go to Carolina. Okay, so go back home. A month or two down the road, MJ declares for the NBA. And I go, I want to go to Carolina. Mike ain't there. I don't want to go because I wanted to go to Carolina because I thought I was going to be hanging out with Michael Jordan. So I go call Coach Palermo in Minnesota and see, can I come up there? She was like, oh, that won't be a problem. I already told him you come.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, at the end of the day, you got your Michael Jordan autograph anyway.
I did, but I was going to Carolina. I thought I was going to be Mike's buddy. And so as soon as he declared he was going to the NBA, I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Minnesota.
Have you ever bumped into MJ in any social circles or anything? I know he's here. He used to be here maybe once a year for Trent Tucker's golf tournament, but I know that's been a while. Have you bumped into him and ever told him, hey, because you changed your path, I also changed my path to a degree.
No, I did. I have seen him when Trent was having his golf fundraiser.
Okay.
Trent used to invite me also, but you don't bother guys like that.
Yeah,
right. So
yeah.
Like afterwards. Yeah. So I, you know, just spoke and shook hands with the guy. And I was still in awe at that time. And so, I wish I would have, but you, it's like proper, like those guys, this dude's on another planet.
Well,
right. So it's just to be in the same room with this guy is like, just amazing.
Well, and to a degree, I know if I ever see, for the most part, quote unquote, somebody famous out and about, I try and leave them alone, you know, just let them, mm-hmm. let them live their life and do their thing. Well, I think you made the right call by not bothering MJ, but I am very appreciative that you let me bother you to just kind of pick your brain a little bit about football, the Gophers, a university that we both love, and about the Myths return, or excuse me, the Minnesota return to the Arena Football League with the Minnesota Myth. MNMyth.com. MNMyth.com. I know tickets are on sale. I'm hoping to be at the home opener. If I don't get to that one, I'll get to another game throughout the year. But I really do appreciate this. Thank you for making time and just talking about some of your passions and walking through some football talk with me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Ross.
Where do you want, is MinnesotaMyth.com the best place for people to learn more information about you? I suppose you're on X, aren't you? You're a big time social media guy. Should we give those out so people can find you?
Yeah, I'm on X at R Foggy. I'm on Facebook as Ricky Foggy. I'm on Instagram as Ricky Foggy. And any other social media you might have. I love social media.
You know what? It's a great way to stay in contact with people and also a great way to shrug your shoulders at the world from time to time. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you for making time.
You're welcome.
That is Ricky Foggy, the head football coach of the Minnesota Myth, making their debut in the state of Minnesota in the month of May. Again, MNMyth.com. Support them. Heck, let's hope they bring a championship back to the great state of Minnesota here this upcoming, I guess it would be, what do we call that? I guess summer. Yeah, spring and summer. MNMyth.com. Again, my thanks to Ricky Foggy. My thanks to you for joining the 209th edition of Minnesota Sports Chat. I will be back again in this feed very soon. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank Thanks for listening to Minnesota Sports Chat, presented by Beans Coffee Company. Use the promo code SPORTSCHAT. That's one word, SPORTSCHAT, to save at checkout. Follow Ross on X at TheRossBrendel. Like and subscribe to Minnesota Sports Chat wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review kindly.